Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15. We've been going through some of the parables that Jesus taught and that the Vacation Bible School children this year learned about, so we're learning with them. Luke chapter 15 has the parable of the lost son, sometimes called the parable of the prodigal son, and I'm going to begin reading with you at the first verse of Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Actually, he goes on to tell three parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and then the parable of the lost son. So now we're going to pick up at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is one of those parables of Jesus that are super familiar. Everybody, I think, knows the story of the prodigal son. Not only is it familiar, it is very, very deep. Just about every commentator that I've read about this part of the Bible and this story that Jesus told remarked about how multi-layered it is. There's something to learn in it every time you look at it. And it's a revelation of God that challenges us. Most people know this by the title, The Prodigal Son. You know, since we just finished reading it, that the word prodigal itself isn't in the story at all. We read from the New International Version. Even if you go to the King James Version, the word prodigal isn't there either. What is a prodigal? I actually wondered myself, and I thought, I wrote down, I think it means this, and I think it means that. I thought, maybe it means the lost son. Does prodigal mean lost? That son was certainly disrespectful to his dad. Is prodigal disrespectful? Is it foolish? Is it repentant? Is it welcome back? Is that the things that it means? Well, actually, no. Prodigal means extravagant. Someone who is lavish. And in the present, in the positive connotation of that word, the word prodigal means someone who is exceedingly generous. And in the negative way of using the word prodigal, it means wasteful. Now, clearly here, when we're talking about that son, it has that negative meaning. After all, that young man took half of his father's estate, the value of everything his father had, took half of it and went away and wasted it. And this, it says, on wild living. I find it interesting that when a name for this parable was sought, that people took that part of the story, the wasteful spending of this young man in that faraway country, and made that the center stage. That's the center point according to how we name it. Does that show that we as material people are most offended by the waste of money? That financial mismanagement is in our own minds the very worst form of brokenness? That could be. We should, I believe, stop calling this parable the parable of the prodigal son. A better name for it, and maybe you'll find this startling, a better name for this parable, in my opinion, is the parable of the prodigal father. And a better application is our being drawn to our prodigal God. And I mean prodigal in the very most positive definition of that word. Think about this father. He had his son come to him. The son showed all kinds of disrespect, all kinds of unkindness towards his father, and that father responded with patience for him. He looked at his son, and I think that son might be one of the most loathsome characters in the Bible. I mean, can you imagine anybody being so disrespectful to their father that you say, "I wish, Dad, that you were dead so that I could have half of your money. Why don't you do me a favor and die?" And the father said, "I'm not going to die. It's not my time. But if you want half of my estate, I will let you." He was patient with that younger son. But even that older son doesn't come off looking really great in this story. He's the boy that stuck around, that did his duty, that worked hard as he was expected to. But rather than functioning and participating as a child of his father, he saw himself working and functioning as a slave. And he did all the work, he put in the time, but he seems to have done it with bitterness and resentment and a grudging spirit. He was faithful, yes, but he wasn't joyful. He wasn't appreciative. He wasn't loving to his dad. And still, his father was patient with him. Patient in a measure that is lavish. Patient in a level that is prodigal. Now, this is a story that focuses on the father, and it drives us and leads us to focus very much on our God, our prodigal God. For those of you who worship with us here at Bethel regularly, you'll know that pretty much every Sunday in our liturgy, we publicly unite in prayer and express our words of confession and regret to the Lord. Week after week after week, we say, we have sinned and we need to be forgiven. Do we start the new day today thinking I'm going to be right with God? Today I'm going to let the fruit of the Spirit be shown in my life to all who cross my path? Maybe not. But we do, again and again, need to be asking for forgiveness. And God is patient with us in a truly prodigal manner. Now, that leads us not only to see the patience of God, but also his capacity for forgiveness. Towards that younger son, he came back. And from a long ways off, the father looked, say, who is that? That whoever that is out there walks just like my younger son. Maybe the way he carries himself, the nature of his gait. And the father runs to him. And in that culture, a mature man never would run. Kids run. Men are dignified. Well, the father said, you know, nuts to dignity. I just want to be with my boy. And I'm going to forgive him for all the things he'd done to me. He didn't say, I'm going to teach that no good so-and-so a lesson. I'm going to let him grovel. I'm going to make him beg. And maybe I'll let him back on my property, but I'll never let him into my heart. Well, some people maybe would say that, but this father wouldn't. No, he went for a run. He went to him in the plain sight of everyone, and in the middle of the intersection, he embraced his boy. He didn't even let that entire rehearsed speech that his son had put together come out. He cut him off and said, Yeah. You are my boy. And I will forgive you, even though what you've done is, some would say, unforgivable. Still, I will forgive. Still, I will be prodigal in my forgiveness. Over the top. Now, towards that other son, the one who had all the pride and the bitterness, the one who was no joy to have around the house, that one who had bitterness festering in him like a canker sore, that kind of self-righteous, smug person can be really hard to take. With him, it was all duty, all obligation, no joy, no gratitude. And I think sometimes that older son is a caricature of what people who are outside of the church think that religious people are really like. Well, when his younger brother came home, being ready to grovel, but not being allowed to because of the prodigal forgiveness of his father, he publicly shamed his dad, the older son did, by refusing to answer the call to celebrate. He stood outside, he stood apart, he stood in judgment and self-righteous indignation. And what's a dad to do with a son like that? He could have said, fine, if you want to be like that, if you want to be all negative and angry all the time, if you want to act like a hired man and not my son, well, that's on you. But again, the man didn't do that. He went to his son and he humbled himself before his son and pleaded with him. Please understand that this is your brother we're talking about, that this is my other son that we're talking about. And he was lost and is found. Can you please enter into the joy of seeing your brother restored to us? The one that was dead has become alive. The one who was lost has been found. The father called the older son to be as prodigal in his forgiveness and as extravagant in his love towards his brother as he himself was being towards his son. Well, we are people who have been blessed by our prodigal God. It's fashionable in some places to preach on this parable in three parts. I have one sermon about the father, and one sermon about the younger son, and one sermon about the older son. And I think maybe years ago I even did that myself. But this story is so much about the father that this is a revelation about the nature of God. And it's about our relationship with God. We are to see ourselves in those brothers, even as we see our Lord in that Father. There's a lot of me in both of these boys. The stupid, hurtful, harmful sins of commission, where we do things that damage ourselves and those around us and besmirch the good name of our God. We have all gone to that distant country and in our own way blown it big time and ended up eating the corn husks with the pigs. And I have, you have, committed the sins of pride. You've held on to that arrogance and that spiritual blindness, that we think we're so good that we can look down on those who have a different story than ours, who don't meet our expectations. Well, this story should drive us to humility, because we're kind of pathetic when you look at it that way. But just as broken as we may be, certainly even more prodigal is our God. As great as our sin and misery is, so much is the forgiveness of God towards us. And as our own hearts may shrivel within us, yet God in his prodigal grace returns our hearts to that which he created them to be, and that is through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. Our Father's prodigal love just takes your breath away. The younger son stabbed his father's heart, and still love endured. Even though he deserved nothing, yet the father gave gifts of clothing and celebration, a feast, a trumpeting message to all who could hear about the love and the glory of reunion. It's a story of us who are frozen. We have frozen our father's hearts with our icy resentment and jealousies and pettiness. We have made ourselves resistant to the warmth of God's love and his grace. And yet, he never stops calling to us. He never stops loving us. He just doesn't stop. No matter how great our sin and misery are, so much greater is God's love for us. The message of this story is that you are loved. And you are loved because our God is a prodigal God, extravagant in grace. Now, to you this day, know this. As you stand on the road, God is running towards you, calling your name with joy in his face at the sight of you. Now, what are you going to do? Jesus told this parable in the context of people who were resistant, but whom he knew that there was no giving up on them. He blessed the people on the margins of society, and he blessed the spiritual snobs and the theologically arrogant. If we are to be imitators of God together, then we should be imitating God and running towards those who have harmed us. People who give us the heebie-jeebies, who make us uncomfortable because they're different, because of their religion or their ethnicity or their orientation. And we should say, we love you too. Because that is God's will for us. Should we truly become imitators of the prodigal God, then the Lord will change the world through us, and glory will be his. Thanks be to God. I'd like to pray with you. Holy and gracious God, you, the one of prodigal grace, we give you thanks for the gift of life and for the blessings of this life, for family and friends and love abundant. Lead us through the trials, the suffering and the sorrow, the challenges and the struggles, the tired time, despair, and the bleak places. Lead us back to you and to love abundant. Be with those who weep or cannot sleep, who have no peace, who seek release, who seek comfort and love abundant. Fill us with hope. Sustain us with your mercy. Give us patience and stamina. Let us be upheld by your Holy Spirit in your prodigal grace. Transform us and all our broken ways. Transform us that we might be made whole. And in wholeness, may we be the hands and the heart of Christ. Amen.